Michael, I like the line in that song that says, "The author of my tomorrow." I like that. Turns out that's not me, right? Okay. So if you think it's you, you're in the right spot. We're going to learn that that's not true today. So again, first, let's pray. You know, if I'm not praying, somebody point at me and say, "You need to pray before you talk." And so that's what I'm going to do right now. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. We'll praise you in the storm, but we'll praise you in the sunlight too. We love you. We are basking in the glow of unity and community. We thank you for bringing us here today. Everyone's here for a reason today. They need to hear something, sing something, or feel something that brings them closer to you. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, present in the apostles and present in our lives. Amen. So, this is again, first week of influencer. You saw that, influencer. So it means a lot of different things, sort of a loaded word. We're going to look at the first chapter of Daniel today. And we're going to start by saying something that you're not expecting me to say. The world of advertising has certainly changed over the years, hasn't it? That's a, what a shift. So it used to be that celebrity endorsements really meant something. It's all you needed to do to move a product. You get a Michael Jordan thing or a Oprah Winfrey in your back pocket, and you got cash flowing in, right? They influenced what you and I would spend our money on. That's how the world operated up until about 2002. Well, in 2000, for the next 10 years, with the emergence of the internet bloggers, they became a source of influence. If you had an expertise in motherhood or auto mechanics, people would tune into what you had to say. Then about 2018, social media influencers showed up on the scene. It wasn't like the pre-2000s, where you needed to be famous to have influence. People like Kim Kardashian cashed in and became famous for what? For being famous. Now, you just had to seem like a celebrity to build a following. That lasted as the it thing to influence it until about 2022, here we go, when content creators burst into public recognition. Now, this was different. You no longer had to be a celebrity or even a quasi-celebrity to get a following. Regular people began to gain a following because they put out content that connected with people. They didn't have to be experts. They didn't have to be celebrities. They were just connected with people who saw them as real and wanted to follow their everyday life. Today, the trend is creating influencer communities. We're back to being centered around celebrities, but this time they connect with fans on a more personal level and make them feel like they're part of a community. What are Taylor Swift fans called? Swifties. Those who follow Logan Paul are part of the Low Gang. You don't even have to be a real person, because if you're a Harry Potter fan, you're a Potterhead. Yeah, I see you nodding. All of these communities follow a common content and are part of their own influencer community. Influencers certainly have changed with the times, and I wonder what's next. So welcome to the beginning of our brand new series called Influencer. Seems like a trendy title. So what does it mean? Well, I think having been on the receiving end of people trying to influence me for so long, with the examples we just talked about, it's easy to believe that I can't be an influencer. I mean, even the regular people seem to be not so ordinary. So will I forever be influenced? How can I even be an influencer? And if so, how? If we look at the Bible and think of influencers, there's obviously no greater example than Jesus. That's your first answer in a Bible quiz show. Jesus, okay? For the last 2,000 years, the words and life of Jesus have influenced people. Today, there are more than 2.4 billion people who call themselves Christians. You might call them followers. And certainly, there's others like Peter and John and Paul who clearly left their mark on the world and have influenced people. We're going to go back a little farther, though, in this series, to another time to look at the stories of another person. The person didn't set out to be an influencer. In fact, most of what he did had nothing to do with pleasing or luring other people. That wasn't what his intent was. That wasn't the way he lived his life. He just lived his life during a complex time, and he left his mark. His name is Daniel. Now, for context, the book of Daniel begins at a peculiar time. It takes place during the exile of the Israelite people who were conquered and taken into captivity into Babylonian present-day Iraq. Now, the ancient world, a king's military victory over another king also signaled the victory of their god over their enemies. So kings would conquer the land to expand their god's territory. But in this case, the king of Babylon didn't just take the land of the Israelites, he took human capital and took the Israelites out of their land and into Babylon to train and assimilate to Babylonian culture. And for the best and brightest of Israel, he brought them into his royal palace. That's where we meet Daniel, three of his friends, Hebrew friends, and the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. And the rest of the book sets up a clash between the God of Israel and the gods of Babylon. But Daniel's not just a book prophecy, as many like to view it today. That's the latter end of the book. And it's also not just a book about Israel's history. We hope you see, as we look at some of the key stories in Daniel, that its lessons are very relevant to the world we live in today. Okay? Today we're going to learn that you don't have to conform to be an influencer. As the book of Daniel begins, the king is trying to force the assimilation of some of the best and brightest into Babylonian culture. And here's how it begins. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Now, that's interesting, because you know what? On first blush, that don't seem so bad. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in the palace and be required to eat from the royal food menu? Well, what's happening here is more than meets the eye. This order was requiring people in captivity to abandon their Jewish traditions. This included consuming food from the king's table, non-kosher, creating a potential conflict between their faith and their new circumstances. Meaning, they were basically exiled into a culture that didn't share their values. And Daniel was one of them. Among those who were chosen were some of from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You have to trust me on getting these names right. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name became Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Okay, for those of you who remember VeggieTales, you know where I'm going with this. You might remember Daniel's friends as Rakshak and Benny, okay? Okay, some of you remember. Come on, the bunny. Yeah, right? You will get to that particular part of the story next week, the fiery furnace. But they are also here with Daniel in the story. Well, VeggieTales is a really cute way to teach these stories to kids. There's something nefarious going on here with these name changes. Babylon didn't just want their bodies, it wanted their identity. Why does it matter? Well, it's because if you don't know who you are in Christ, someone will try to define it for you. I think one of the pitfalls of social media influencers is that they are not truly interested in who you are. They are mostly interested in influencing how you think and how you act and how you behave to shape who they want you to be. And while their goal may be to help you become better, the downside is that some can promote unrealistic body images. Some endorse products that are harmful without describing or disclosing the sponsored content. And they can foster a culture of comparison and envy that culture embraces. You know that's true. But that's not what it means to follow Jesus. The Apostle Paul says it this way: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Read that every morning before you leave your house. In simple terms, this verse means that that when a person embraces Christ, they are no longer defined by their past or by their mistakes or by their limitations. This is a call to Christians to not be shaped by the values and norms of the culture that you're surrounded by. Rather, to let God reshape their thinking and lives. In other words, don't let someone define who God already called you to be. That's what Daniel does. He says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. Now, notice that Daniel didn't throw a fit, didn't start pouting. He didn't put Nebuchadnezzar on blast in his Twitter scroll, or whatever we call that now. He just quietly said, hey, I'm not eating that. Why? Well, the reason why is that king's food was likely sacrificed to idols. And that, or like I said before, broke Jewish dietary laws, as important. But Daniel's refusal wasn't about calories. It was about conviction. And the greatest influence often starts with small acts of conviction. In other words, sometimes your influence starts with small decisions. Maybe it's choosing honesty in the workplace when others are choosing compromise. Or it could be staying pure when everyone else says it's just what people do now. Maybe it's simply telling yourself no to what's popular because it doesn't honor God. This is the predicament Daniel found himself in. Do I do what's right, or do I do what's easy? And let me tell you, you already know the answer to that. Those usually aren't the same things. But he believed that honoring God was more important than doing what was easy. He took a risk on what he believed to be true and about God and remained faithful. And at the end of the 10 days, this is awesome, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. 10 days, that's all it took. Daniel and his friends looked better than the ones who followed the king's menu. When King Nebuchadnezzar looked for the sharpest minds, the top influencers, he didn't look to the ones who conformed, did he? He looked to the ones who stood firm. Let that be a lesson for us. God honors those who stand firm. I'm not equating Nebuchadnezzar with God, but you were honored when you stand firm, meaning you don't influence people by matching them. You influence people by reflecting something different, something better. I received a message recently from someone who's just so frustrated on what they see going on in the world today. They become jaded with Christians and the harmful and ugly social media posts that they see on those Christians' timelines. They're frustrated with the pain and the suffering they see happening around the globe with no hope in sight. And their question was simple, where is God? I'd be lying if I hadn't had the same thought some days. It's hard to look into our world sometimes and believe that evil isn't winning. But here is my reply. In times like this, we can wonder where God is, or we can model for the world around us who our God is. And instead of spouting negativity and division, I could promote positivity and unity. Instead of getting wrapped up in office politics and gossip, I can choose to change the subject. My classmates may be headed in the wrong direction, but I can choose to not follow the crowd. And one day they may look to you for prayer or wisdom or leadership. Why? Why would they do that? You know why? Because you didn't conform. You stayed true to who you were and who you are and whose you are, almost more importantly. Because your courage to stand may be the influence someone else needs to see God clearly. Andy Dirks is a baseball announcer, broadcaster, former baseball player. He's also an outspoken follower of Jesus. He told a group at a youth retreat recently, "I believe God has a purpose for each one of you in this room that's unique and specific to you." Ilsa is a baseball fan today. My wife Ilsa is a baseball fan today because of Andy Dirks. He started in spring training in 2011, and she was drawn to him at spring training that year. Andy's birthday is on January 24th. Our son Sam is on January 23rd. I don't have any idea if that had anything to do with it. He's just a cute young man. I think that was mostly the approach, a cute young man. And I'm not sure that that's, but the interesting thing was, to me, she got his autograph. Later in the same game, she got his autograph again. And he looked at her and he said, "Weren't you already here?" And I thought, that's amazing. That's amazing that he had eyes to see, right? That he was, his kindness, he was an influencer at that very moment. She's a tiger for life now because of that kindness. And I read an article, again, just to go further with him as an influencer, because he is in the public eye. For those of us that follow baseball, he's really in the public eye, but you just have to believe me when I say it's true. So what led him back to God was when he hurt his back and he couldn't play baseball. And his quote is, "I was absolutely devastated. It wasn't at the pinnacle when everyone loved me. It was when I didn't know what to do or where to turn. And I said, 'God, you're going to have to show me because I'm all out of answers.' And he said, 'And in that moment, I felt peace.'" Andy Dirks remained faithful. And as Daniel and his friends remained faithful, God blessed them. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds, of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Daniel didn't influence by blending in. He influenced by being faithfully different. He wasn't loud. He wasn't rude. He just knew who he was, and he knew whose he was. Let me illustrate it this way. What's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? I know you know the difference. Don't say it out loud, but just go with me here, okay? A thermometer reflects the temperature of the room, right? It tells you the temperature of the space around you. But a thermostat does something much different. It sets the temperature. And the reality is that most people are thermometers. They reflect the temperature of whatever's around them. That includes us as Christ followers. And the danger that we as Christians appear to have no different temperature than the culture around us, that's not good. And the reality is that most people aren't changing the temperature. Their temperature is changing them. But God called you to be a thermostat. You're meant to set the spiritual climate in your office, in your friend group, and in your home. For a parent, our kids are always trying to get us to change the thermostat setting, right? Yeah. Kids will push your boundaries to try to set a new temperature, to bump that temperature up. At work, you may be tempted to change your setting. Whatever it's trying to do to get ahead or get noticed, sometimes we can compromise where we follow what others are doing to fit in. And in our faith, I think we often are intimidated to set the temperature. We sell ourselves, and so we turn down the dial. Hear me now. Being an influencer is not about converting others. It's about how we act and behave and how we treat other people. And in the end, if we stand firm, you might be surprised who's influenced. Here's how the story ends. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Was Daniel a thermometer or a thermostat? Daniel was a thermostat. And so were the other three that I'm not going to say their names again. Those guys didn't just survive Babylon. Daniel influenced it, and he began to change the temperature. So here's the question. Where are you conforming where God's calling you to stand? So this week, just be aware of what's pressuring you to blend in. And this is not in a condemning way, but you know you're going to get bombarded with things like this after I said it out loud. Ask God, God, how can I reflect you in this moment? Not how do I react, but how can I reflect you? Because I don't have to conform to be an influencer. Sometimes the most powerful influence comes from the quiet, courageous word, no. We're going to go into time of communion now. I think as you enter into this today, it's certainly the sacrament of communion is that it's a sacrament. We believe that the Holy Spirit is present in this sacrament, that it's an obligation to be in communion with your loved ones and your church family and those that believe as you believe. Everyone is welcome at this table. My only concern is that people, if you have an unforgiven, somebody you haven't forgiven in your heart, close your eyes before you come up here and ask for forgiveness, okay? But other than that, everyone is welcome to this table. Mark is going to come and help me serve the elements this morning, and come as you are able. Let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that you've given us today, and thank you for this celebration of the bread and the wine, of your body and your blood. And Lord, we're reminded on this Pentecost Sunday that your Holy Spirit was present in these apostles soon after this. The power came into them. That's how this movement has sustained and continues to be a vital change agent in this world, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of a loving God, and the support of a brother that we call Jesus. Today we celebrate the elements of bread and wine as blood and body given to us as a gift, as a celebration, as a remembrance. In Jesus' name, amen. So come as you are able. There is a gluten-free option for those of you interested. And I just want to say that on the night before he died, he had this Passover meal with his disciples, and he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is for you, given for you. And so every time you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." And at the end of the meal, he took the last cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the salvation of you and for many. The blood that was given to you, poured out for you for your sins and your salvation. Do this and drink this, and every time you do that, remember me." So come as you are able. Happy Pentecost. May the power of the Holy Spirit be with you this week. Remember the communion you just participated in, that Jesus was there present with you, and he will be every waking moment of your life this week. So go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, be a change agent. Be an influencer. Amen? Amen. Amen.